chapter 10, Jesus spoke and he said that everybody that suffers persecution, you will suffer persecution. The word persecution is not just, think about this. Jesus said that you're going to leave, you're going to have to leave family members and friends, and you're going to lose some stuff in your life. I heard a pastor say, I love this guy. He said something to the church. He says, you want to be a pastor? He says, you better get ready to lose things. You're going to lose money. You're going to lose houses. You're going to have people turn their backs on you. Family members will walk out on your life. This is what he said, and I agree wholeheartedly with him. He says, you're going to lose friends. He says, social media will try to rip you apart. Newspapers will write things against you that's not even truth. He says, I beg of you, rather go sell cars and sell real estate. But if you're not called, don't be a pastor. That's what he said. And I really do believe that. I really, really do believe that, because Jesus says that you will suffer persecution for his name's sake. The word persecution is not just people coming against you, but what people don't understand, that when you are chosen, set aside, it's a lonely life. Come, I say it's a lonely life. People like the anointing. They don't always like you. You know, you get the Christians, that vampire Christians, they suck you dry and then they go. And there's some kingdom principles that I want to touch on, and then I'm going to release a word. So Jesus said the following. He said that they will suffer persecution, and he went on. He says, so everybody that loses things for his name's sake, who's going through some stuff, that's what Jesus is saying. He says, will receive a hundredfold. That's not the word of Wessel du Brey, that's the word of Jesus. He says, you will receive a hundredfold with persecution. What most people are going through at this very moment is hard times and persecution, but you've not seen the hundredfold. I have learned that the word of God cannot lie. And this is for somebody. If you don't want to take it, that's up to you. Last night, God spoke this to me clearly. You are stepping into an arena of the hundredfold. Do you hear me? You are stepping into the arena of the hundredfold. As I was preaching last night, God said to me, you've just been promoted. I told everybody, I was so excited. I said, God told me, I have been promoted. Now I'm speaking to people who are going through some stuff in their lives. And you've been going through some stuff, and you have been serving God well. Lift your hand if I'm talking to you. Well, not serving God well according to yourself, but according to the word of God. You've been serving God according to the word of God. Because, you know, I want to just say this offhand, that many people declare the blessing of God. And people love it. You know, when you preach on the blessing of God, people jump, they shout, they run around, they receive it. But not many people jump and shout when you apply the principle. Okay, there's a principle, there's kingdom principles. Say with me, there's kingdom principles. Come on, say this with me, there's kingdom principles. Now just quickly, I'm going to quote some of them, just quickly, free of charge. You know, the scripture says in Deuteronomy, the Bible speaks in the book of Deuteronomy 28, and everybody quotes it. Blessed am I going in and coming out, and blessed am I in the city, and blessed am I in the field. But what they don't read the first verse. And that is one of kingdom principles. One of the principles says, if you diligently obey the word of God and the voice of God, these blessings shall overtake you. So when is the blessings overtaking me? Come on, lift your hand if you know the answer. All right? When does the blessing of God overtake me? When I obey him diligently. When I listen to his voice. Now, delayed obedience is disobedience. And disobedience is a sign of unbelief. Come on, obedience. When you obey God, obedience acts immediately. So one of the principles for the blessing of God is to obey his voice. Say with me, to obey his voice. Another principle, a lot of people claim the blessing, but a lot of people obey this principle. The Bible says, and this is a hard one. Are you ready for this one? Give and it shall be given. A good measure shaken together, pressed down, and running over will men give unto your bosom. When will you receive? What's the principle? When I give, it's a kingdom principle. I like people that wants the kingdom benefits, but I don't want to apply the kingdom principles. Let me give you another one. The Bible says, treat others as you want to be treated yourself. If you need love, don't sow hatred, sow love. Come on, if you need meekness, be meek. It's 8 o'clock. I'm going to speak to my friends this side. Maybe you hear me. People claim the blessing, but people don't apply the principle. Matthew chapter 6 verse 53 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Why did the Lord say this? Read what's happening before that. The Bible says before that, that you were worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. You were worried how you dress and where you stay. He says, don't you know that God knows all these things? Don't you know that God knows that you need these blessings? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all the other things. Which things? The supply, the bread, the house, the car, the money shall be added unto you. Kingdom principles. I want you to shout kingdom principles. Now I'm going to have to compress everything that I want quickly into one sermon because I really do believe we're getting somewhere. Right? I really felt this morning to speak this word to you. So what does the Bible say in regards to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? What does it mean? Well, to seek His kingdom first, it means whatever I decide. If you do anything for this church and you go home and say, yes, I've helped that pastor today, you're helping nothing. Because you don't help me, you're working in the kingdom. And everything that you do, the Bible says this, that whatever you do, do it unto the Lord, not unto man, so that God can reward you openly. Is somebody listening to me in this place? Come on, so whatever I do, when I lead worship, when I play guitar, when I play drums, when I park the cars, when I sweep the tour, listen, we've got hard workers in this place, but I always tell them, listen, you do it for the Lord. So whatever I do, I make His kingdom number one. Come on, His kingdom number one. Say with me, His kingdom is number one. And listen to me, I want you to borrow me your eyes just for a second. If you make God's kingdom your number one priority, you will lack never. There will never be lack whatsoever. I've heard a person ask me the one day, they said, listen, I wanted to sow, but I heard a voice say to me, don't sow. So I didn't because I knew God said, don't sow. And I said, well, that's not God speaking. Amen. Many people say, well, I want to be obedient when I sow. Well, tell me, show me one scripture where God says, if you sow, I'm gonna curse that. No, there's no way. It's seed. Seed must produce what it has been sent for. So, and the devil, by the way, is never going to tell you to sow. I heard people say, the devil told me to sow it. I won't. Do you know what? This is facts. As I have a lot of preacher friends I speak to. In today's churches, when the offering baskets go past, people throw in a 200 and they take change. Promise you. Okay, you think it's a joke? No jokes. 180. They even asked them, please, can you make sure there's change on the inside? So when the basket... Can I give you another principle? Jesus says, the way you measure shall be measured unto you. It's just principles that you have to think about, and then I'm going to get to the good stuff, okay? So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What does it mean? It means to be in right standing with God. It means to please God. Say with me, to please God. How do I please God? I please God with my faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that those who come before the Lord must know that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. When does God reward me? God rewards me when I seek Him. When I seek Him. Now, I got a few more, then we're going to go. The Bible, the kingdom of God operates through three things that I quickly want to just touch on. This is the big teaching I'm just going to touch on, and I'm going to do the good stuff, all right? The Bible says, for everybody who seek will find. So I want to ask you to write this down. In God's kingdom, I must seek. Seek. Say with me, seek. Then the Bible says, those who knock, to them it shall be opened. So I want you to say knock. Number three, ask. Come on, say ask. Say this again, ask. Now, this is going to apply to the 10 o'clock service, but just quickly. So the scripture says, whatever you seek, you will find. If you lose your phone in your house, what are you looking for? Are you looking for the Omo box? No, you're looking for your cell phone. Your mind has been set. I'm needing the phone. Come on, especially in today's society. People will go to church without their Bibles, but not without their phones. Come on, why is it so quiet at this moment? You know, so when you lose your phone in your house, you're going to do what? You're going to put an emphasis on finding the phone. Why is it different in the kingdom? The Bible says, when you seek, you shall find. Seek what? Not seek the blessing, seek the blesser. Seek the blesser. Amen. Come on, if you believe it, shout hallelujah. So seek the blesser. So you put your emphasis in your mind on seeking Him. That's a principle. In the kingdom of God, you have to seek. Then knock. The Bible says that when you knock, it shall be opened. Do you know what the word knock speaks about? It speaks about somebody who's desiring and so desperate that you refuse to turn away unless it's opened for you. How would somebody know you're at the door if there's no knock, no doorbell? All right, so you have to knock, 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 knock until you drive the person in the house so crazy that they can't do anything but open the door. And this is why Elijah prayed 7 times. He didn't just stop. Sometimes you have to contend for the miracle. Come on, sometimes you have to fight for that miracle. Sometimes you just have to pour in and not quit. If you believe that, say hallelujah. And then there comes point of asking. That's praying. Praying, praying. So now, this is a couple. I can go on with lists. So main thing is, you want a blessing of God? Apply the principles. Say this with me. If I want the blessing, I have to apply the principle. So I'm speaking to people that's been applying the principle. And I've touched last night on a sermon, and I want to touch on it again. So if you were there last night, sorry. Just bear with me quickly. So here we go. So God said, everybody who's been persecuted for his name's sake shall receive 100-fold blessing in this life and the life to come, eternal life. But in this life, so you receive the 100-fold blessing, but it will come with persecution. Have you noticed when God blesses preachers or Christians, that the whole world is angry? Nobody said a thing when Michael Jackson flew in private jets, but everybody's angry when a pastor flies in a private jet. Okay, don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. Everybody's angry. Come on, when the king of rock drove in Bentleys and cars that, he got so much money, doesn't know what to do with it, but everybody's angry when somebody that works for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords are being blessed. People are getting angry. Do you know why? It's wrong. But Jesus said the following. He says, if you want the blessing, you'll have to understand there will always be a opposition. So whenever you have been opposed, it means there's a blessing coming your way and you are stepping into the arena of 100-fold. What I've learned is that God's word cannot lie. Now, if you believe God's word cannot lie, I need you to sit at the edge of your chair, because the word of God cannot come back void. If Jesus says, I will bless you 100-fold, but it will be persecution, it means if I've been going through some hard times, if I've been going through some slander and persecution, and I've not yet seen the 100-fold, it means that I am being set up. Not for failure, but for the greatest victory and the greatest breakthrough of my life. I'm not sure who I'm speaking to now, but I'm speaking to your destiny. I'm speaking to you and your household that is 100-fold about to open up for you and your house. Do you know why? Not because you are who you are, but because he is who he is, and his word cannot fail. Now, I'm here this morning to set something straight in the atmosphere. And by the way, I'm just stepping into the office of an apostle that declares things in the spirit, set things straight. I'm here to set something straight. So you can run now. The doors are still open, but the next minute we're going to lock it. I'm here to declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, no weapon formed against you will ever prosper against you. Come on, I'm here to declare this to you. If you have been applying kingdom principles, it is time. I say it's about time that we start to enter the blessing of God. Come on, the place where our cup overflow with more than enough. Your cup has had cracks for so long, but I declare in the name of Jesus that cycles are about to be broken and sicknesses is about to be returned where it comes from in Jesus' name. Come on, this morning, I want you to hear me. Every fear, every spirit of fear is going back to hell where it comes from. You must live in the overflow. I know I'm going to get slack for this. Are you a name it, claim it kind of guy? No, I'm a believe it, receive it kind of guy. Come on, whatever we believe, we receive. Do you believe that? If you believe it, I want you to jump to your feet and give Jesus praise in this place. I'm a believe it, receive it kind of guy. I believe the word of God and the word of God only. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. If my Bible says, do not worry about tomorrow, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Come on, if the Bible says, I will be with you wherever you go, then the Bible means he's with me wherever I go. Come on, wherever I put my foot, it belongs to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, where's 10 people at least in this place that will grab hold of this word and say, Lord, this morning I've heard some truth. Why are you so excited? I'm so excited because Jesus is alive. I'm smiling because of still. I'm jumping because of still. I'm dancing because of still. Still what? He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's still on the throne. And his word will not come back void. I made up my mind for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I made up my mind for me and my house, we will walk in these blessings. I have served God my whole life. For 15 years, I've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, I've been through some stuff in my life, some of the worst stuff. I don't even wish it on my worst enemies. But one thing that I can tell you, the word of God works. It works. If I apply the principle, it works. Amen. Amen. Come on, quickly. I want to just touch on the book of Judges. Judges, the scripture speaks about Samson, powerful man of God. Who knows, by the way, that Samson was a powerful man of God? Who knows? Samson is a powerful man of God. Lift your hand. So when I said Samson, the first thing that you saw a big muscle mania. You saw virgin active. Yes, it's quiet. Charlie Owens, kijk me nou weer, check it out. It's not just virgin active, it is yellow maatschappij. So the Bible says that the angel came to his mother and said, you're going to have a child, but you're going to have to separate him. So I'm speaking to the weirdos. You've been separated. Everybody is, even when I grew up as a child, they didn't want to play with me. They said I'm weird. Thank God for being weird. It's not because you're weird. It's because there's a different spirit on the inside of you. Amen. While the rest were playing with cars, I was reading my Bible. I loved the word of God. I consumed the word of God. And it's about long story short. His mother said, the angel said, you have to separate him. He shouldn't be coming near alcohol. You shouldn't cut his hair. He's a Nazarene from birth, so he must be separated, holy, set aside. And if people, if God selects people to live in a way like that, it's because there's a huge, huge role for that person to play. And part of that role is, Paul says, he says that you have to fight the fight of faith. And he says to lay hold of the crown. And you know, the scripture speaks about different forms of crowns that we're going to receive when we stand before God one day. And as I was reading all these different crowns, I understood the reason why we are receiving so many crowns is not to walk in heaven with all my crowns on my head, but to lay it at his feet and to crown him with many crowns. Is somebody listening to me? So this is why we do what we do and live a separated life. And so the Bible says eventually that Samson grew up, and the word says this. You can read this. I'm just going to quote this quickly and declare the word of God, because when you declare the word of God and people believe it, it happens. So the Bible says that eventually he grew up and he saw a woman from the Philistine descent, and he liked this woman. He said to his dad, he said, I want to marry this woman. And his dad said, listen, of all the people that you can choose of, why do you choose the enemy? Come on, why do you choose the Philistines? What Samson's parents didn't understand was God was positioning Samson. Well, I'm just prophesying this to somebody, that God is positioning you. What most people don't understand is you have to understand this, where God puts you, and where you honor, where God has placed you. God will use your life to position you to fight some of the biggest fights, some of the biggest battles, and God will win that battle through you. What you've been going through is not in vain. The hurt that you've experienced is not in vain. Listen, let pain pay you. God will use your pain. Come on. I said God will use your pain. God will use what you've been going through for a simple reason. He's positioning you. The Bible is clear. It says that God will never allow you to go through anything unless you can handle it. I'm looking at some strong people in this place. God says if you face it, it means that I see something of worth on the inside of you. I will not allow anything to come to you unless you can handle it. Listen to me, baby. You'll make it. You'll make it. You think that God wants to kill you in this? No, he's making you strong in this. Come on, I declare this, let pain pay you. I said, let pain pay you. So God is positioning you. Whatever comes against you, God is just positioning you to move against your enemies. Oh, come on, I feel like preaching in this place. This is why the Bible says that you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Why in the presence of your enemies? Because I'm about to position you. Hallelujah. By the way, if you didn't have enemies, who would God use to promote you? Free publicity. Don't pay the newspapers. Cray Antistini. Free of charge.
Het jy gehoor?
Hulle verkoop sitplekke. Everybody wants to come. Let's see that. When they come, they get saved. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. I had someone that didn't like me. And they said, this guy, I'm taking him out. This guy pays people to say they're sick. Do you know what happened? Came to a meeting, the whole place was packed. Everybody wanted some money. And they saw the miracles. Bang, 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 bang. And news spread. No, he's surely paying. We don't know how, but he's paying. Services grows and grows and grows and grows. And suddenly there's breakthroughs in every area of your life. Use pain to pay you. Let's try this side. Use pain to pay you. God is positioning you. Can you see that? I said, can you see that? God is positioning you. So what do I do so that people don't speak against me? Do nothing. People won't say anything. Do nothing and there will be no turmoil in your life. But make a difference. Listen, when God spoke to me about something, everything changed in me. The Lord said to me, whatever you do, you have to have eternity in mind. Many people fight, quarrel about stupid things. And when you stand before God one day, those things will have no impact in eternity. What do I say? It's a waste of time. We fear about things that can never change eternity. What do I mean? That's a waste of time. So whatever we do, we have to think about eternity. We have to have eternity in mind. Every decision that I make, does this impact eternity? If not, it is a waste of time. This is why Paul says life is like a vapor. You wake up one morning, you don't even know if you're going to see tonight. Nobody in this place are secure about tonight. You don't even know if you'll breathe in the next 10 minutes. If you don't, I'm going to pray for you. Don't worry about that. We'll bring you back. All right, and I'll preach it. When I'm done preaching, you can go wherever you want to go. But in any case, is somebody listening to me? It must have eternity's worth. Say with me, it must have eternity's worth. So let's go. And the Bible says, so he saw this woman. You know, somebody needed to hear that, by the way. All right, so he saw this woman and he said to his dad, just get it to me. She's beautiful. I want to marry her. So long story short, he married this woman. And Samson, with the anointing comes wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And so the Bible says he was actually a clever guy. He made the people feel stupid. He made riddles that they couldn't understand. You know, when people sit under the anointing, sometimes the anointing, not sometimes, every time, the anointing makes you bold. And people don't like boldness. Boldness gets results. You have to be bold. Your father is a bold lion. I like to preach on this side today. You're going on, and my goodness, your life. It's 12 o'clock here. It's 4 o'clock in the morning here. We'll get them there now. So in any case, so the Bible says he saw this woman, married this woman, and then he made riddles to the Philistines. She came from the Philistine descent, and they were angry because they couldn't understand the riddle. And one place in Scripture, I'm just quoting quickly, one place in Scripture, they became so angry that his father-in-law got threatened, and so long story short, he gave his daughter away to another man. So the Bible says this in the New King James Version, and Samson's wife left him for another man. The one translation says this, and Samson's wife left him for his best man. It's not the best man at the wedding, left him for another man. All right? And because of fear, the father gave the daughter away. And Samson got news that the daughter left him for another man. And the first thing Samson was doing, Samson went back to the ex-father-in-law and says, please, can I just have your daughter back? And he presented a gift. And the father said, I can't give you the daughter back. I really gave it to another man, but you can have a sister. All right, Samson wasn't interested in a sister. He wanted his wife. And here's the biggest concern, and the biggest mistake that people make, is you have to differentiate between those who use you and those who abuse you. And you have to understand those who's positioned there for a reason. You know, there's a lot of people that's attached to you, and there's people that's assigned to you. And the problem is that Samson went back to his ex-father-in-law and begged, can I have your daughter back? I want to tell people in this place, I throw this out free of charge. If they don't see the glory of God on your life, it's time to say goodbye and good riddance. His wife left him for another man, somebody that doesn't have as much going on as him. Is somebody listening to me? And I want to say this to these people in relationships. I'm not talking to you married folks. I'm talking to people in relationships. You've got friendships and you've got family all around you, and the only thing they see is your destruction, and they can't see the glory of God on your life. Don't allow that people in your circle. You don't hear me. Don't allow that people in your circle. You have to allow people in your circle that motivate your faith, that brings the greatness out of you, that tell you can do better than what you think you can do. Come on. There's greatness on the inside of you. I want to put somebody on the spot. I want to put this young man on the spot. Can I put you on the spot? I've seen him starting here in praise and worship. I've seen him starting in praise and worship. And when I looked at him this morning, do you know what I saw? I saw confidence. And I understood what confidence can do. Confidence can change everything. Everything. Come on. If you just motivate somebody and say, hey, I believe there's something in you that God has placed there, you can do much better. Do you know what happens? And then suddenly there's an anointing that overflows. This is why you have to surround yourself with people that brings the anointing out of you and not kill the anointing on your life. If you believe this, give somebody a high five and say, I am not going to allow the wrong people near me. God, help us in the 10 o'clock. Let the glory of God fill this house. Let people be changed forevermore. Amen. And now he's even more angry. And the Bible says he became so angry that he caught up with 300 foxes. He catched 300 foxes. Now, I want you to think about this. Catching one, you need the anointing. Catching 300, you need all of heaven's backing. All right? And he was angry. He didn't say, listen, I'm going to catch one fox and then that's it. He says, no ways. I'm going to catch 300 of them. Now, think about this. He had to catch them, put them somewhere. Catch more, put them somewhere. The fact is, to catch one, you need a miracle. A fox is not a slow animal. It's a fast animal. And it's cunning. But the powerful thing about this is when the anointing comes upon your life, you will run after and catch up with things that were supposed in the natural to run away from you. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. This is what the anointing does. The anointing accelerates everything in your life. So what do I mean? It means that things that will take you 1 year in the natural will take you a week in the supernatural. You will catch up. I'm prophesying this and nobody seems to hear the word. Whatever you need, you'll catch up with it. No longer will it be in delay. No more delays. I rebuke delay in the name of Jesus. I cancel delay in the name of Jesus. Come on, I need some people with a now mentality that says, Lord, in the next 24 hours, I declare a breakthrough over me and my house. In the next 24 hours, I declare a healing in my house. Come on, in the next 24 hours, I declare my peace and my joy is coming back. Oh, hallelujah. Whatever ran in front of him, he caught up with that. This is why the Bible says, and goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. It's time that goodness and mercy catch up with you. Instead of you catching up with goodness and mercy. Oh, hallelujah. I just feel it. I just feel it. A move of the Spirit of God, getting people into a place where you know it is time that we see the results of the Word of God. Listen, I'm passionate about the Word of God. If God's Word is true, which it is, listen, if you tell me God's Word or you that I see, which one is not true, I'll say you're not true. I'm seeing a lie. My eyes are deceiving me. But what's going on in here, listen, I'm set, brother. I'm set. I know the Word of God works. Somebody happy? 300 foxes, sent them off in the Philistines' camp, and the whole camp burned down. Now they were angry. Killed his wife. Set it on fire, killed her. And he's even more angry. So I want to skip a verse and go on to something that stands out for me. So the Bible says, eventually Samson went down to the cliff of the rock. And this got my attention because when Moses said to the Lord, show me your glory, God said to him, I'm going to put you in the cliff of the rock. And when you're in the cliff of the rock, my glory shall pass by. Now the cliff of the rock symbolizes something profound. God said to Moses, I can't show you my face, for no man can see my face and live, but I've got a place next to me. And then he goes on, he says, I'll put you in a rock. I'll put you on the rock, and then I'll put a cliff in the rock. And when you are in the cliff of the rock, my glory shall pass by you. Where is Jesus? Jesus is next to the Father. Jesus is called the Rock of Ages. And he's the rock that has been cleft for us. So when what God was actually saying to Moses, for you to see my glory, you have to be in my rock in my son. And then you qualify because Jesus is the gateway to God's glory. Come on, Jesus is the veil. He's the veil that's been torn open, and he's the one who made access for us into heavenly places. So if I look at the cleft of the rock, it speaks about the presence of God. And this is something so profound that the man of God spent time in the presence of God. People don't like spending time in the presence of God. I want to tell you, if you're intimate with God, you can never be intimidated by any man. Come on. Private times with God brings forth constant times with God. And there's a huge price to pay when we neglect the presence of God. Is somebody listening to me? Many people think that you have to be in a church setup to get into the Holy of Holies. Listen, the Holy of Holies must be in your garden. It must be in the shower. It must be at the restaurant. It must be wherever you go. You carry the presence of God. The Holy of Holies is within. Is somebody listening to me? Amen? Amen? So now the Bible says, here's Jews going down to the cleft of the rock because they're afraid of the Philistines. And they said, listen, we're just here to take you back to them. We will not kill you. Not here, not now. We don't want to kill our own, so we're going to take you back. And something happened. Came out of the cleft of the rock. Think about this. Please hear me. He's coming out of the presence of God, relaxed. Here's his enemies about to take him away. He's not even fighting. You didn't hear me. He's not even fighting. He's at peace. Why? Because he just came out of a dimension where the Prince of Peace dwells. Let's try that again. He's spending time with the presence of God, and here's his enemies. They said, listen, we're going to take you back to the Philistines. Okay. You're not going to kill me now. No, we're not going to. That's good. Because you touch me, you die. Come on, really lanky. No, he says, whatever. Whatever. I think when they tied him up, he was still, in moments like this, I sing out a song. And then they tied him up. And they throw them on their backs. I sing out a love song to Jesus. La, la, la. And yet the Jews are just too afraid. Thousands of them, by the way. Imagine sending 1,000 men to get one man. Jeez, you know how Satan saw that man? Satan said, hey, boys, reinforcements. So yeah, he's there carrying him. And something happened. The Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him. The Bible doesn't say that Samson prayed. The Bible doesn't say Samson feared. He was at peace. And suddenly, I want you to say with me, suddenly, the Spirit of God came upon him. And when the Spirit of God came upon him, the ropes that tied him down broke like flax. Because that's what happens when the presence of God touches you. Everything that's about to keep you away. In actual fact, I've asked the question last night, how do you kill a man that's already dead? It's no longer I live, but Christ that lives in me. Can I go on quickly? Jesus sleeping in the back of a boat. Water started filling the boat. The disciples were afraid. They ran back to him and said, Lord, don't you care that we're about to die? He rose up. He rebuked the winds and the seas. He asked them, where is your faith? Think about this. The reason why Jesus didn't shout, didn't run around, didn't cry out, God, why did you forsake me? No, because in his world there is no storm. He's the Prince of Peace. Say with me, he's the Prince of Peace. Come on, say this one more time. He's the Prince of Peace. You know what I love? I love it. The scripture says that Enoch walked with God. And he was no more, for God took him. I have to be very sensitive for what I say now. When I said Prince of Peace, I felt the Prince of Peace tugging my heart. And said, everything's going to be okay today. Can I quickly ask you just for a second to lift your hands with me? I want to ask you, just close your eyes very quickly with me. The King is here. The King is here. I worship you. I acknowledge your presence here, Lord. Great Prince of Peace. Oh, wow. Just quickly listen to me. Do you feel Him? Do you feel everything is different at this moment? Everything is different at this moment. Please, people of God, I beg you, be very sensitive to Him. Every service, be very, very sensitive to Him. You are not leaving this place like you come. I declare you stepping into that hundredfold blessing of God. You better hear me. Things just shifted over your life. Things just shifted over your life. So Lord, I just want to acknowledge you. I want to acknowledge your presence. Such a holy, holy presence. Such a holy presence. You are holy. You are holy. Listen, Lord, just stop me there. I want to read your scripture quickly. Every eye closed, please. Lift your hands with me. Holy is your name. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. And also there was no more sea. Then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then He who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, write down these words, which are true and faithful. And He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the coward, the unbelieving, abominable, murderous, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits each year, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Just lift your hands with me quickly. We acknowledge you, and we love you so much. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Just quickly look at me. What a presence of the Lord. Listen, the 10 o'clock service is going to be extraordinary. I want to ask you a question quickly. Who felt a shift? Who felt a holy... Be honest now. If you didn't... No problem. Who felt the holy presence filling this place? Lift your hands. He's here. The Lord is here. You know, I love it when God surprises me this way. Brothers, you're going to have to be close today. I feel a heavy anointing. My God. I feel such power in this place. Now, you know, I'm almost there. The Bible says so. The ropes melted like flax. It broke down off him when the Spirit of God came upon him. Why do I say this? Because I believe this is what's coming to you. Coming to your house, anything that tied you up is breaking off you. Every fear that kept you back is breaking off you. Every hard time is breaking off you. Come on, every negative word spoken over your life is breaking off you. Every heart here is breaking off you. Come on, every anxiety is breaking off you. Come on, every negative word spoken over you is breaking off you. In Jesus' name, it's breaking like flax because the Spirit of God is coming upon you. Listen, house of God, Faith City, I say this again. The Spirit of God is going to move in this place in a way that I'm too afraid just to say this in words. I believe a holy move of God is coming. It's going to shake this church today. It's going to shake this church today. Get ready. This is just pieces of what's coming to the 10 o'clock. We're going to experience a holy, holy reverence of God in this place. So the Bible says a fresh jawbone of a donkey was laying there, and he picked it up and he killed 1,000 men. Bang. 1,000 men with a fresh jawbone of a donkey. Again, I prophesy this to you that God is giving you something fresh in your hand that will kill anything that comes against you. You have to understand that Samson wasn't just any man. He was a man that also killed a lion with his bare hands. And the Bible says on his way back, he found honey in a lion. Honey, something sweet. He ate something sweet out of something that was supposed to kill him. Is somebody listening to me? God will use the very thing that was supposed to kill you, the very thing that was supposed to bankrupt you. God will use that thing so that you can eat something sweet out of it. And do you know what? His mother and his father walked with him, and they didn't even knew that he was killing a lion. In other words, he was killing that lion, and it seems like it didn't take much energy out of him. It was supposed to kill you. It will not kill you. Do you hear me? You will eat sweetness out of that very thing that was supposed to kill you. And God will give you something fresh in your hand. Something fresh that whatever comes against you. This is why even if 1,000 falls to your right and 10,000 to your side, it will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you see it. My God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Long story short, eventually met Delilah with a little bit of Jezebel in her. And by the way, Samson had no muscles. You don't have to tell me, Vessel, I'm not trained. You don't need to be trained. You don't have to have things behind your name, just your surname. That's fine. You don't have to be qualified. I want you to say this again. Samson had no muscles. Samson didn't look like a power. He had no muscles. Well, where do you get this? Well, read the Bible. Delilah said to him, Samson, where does your power come from? If Samson had muscles, he wouldn't say, where does your power come from? She knew that the muscles supply the power. But what is so important to understand is not even the hair that brought the muscles. The hair was just a sign of obedience. The power came from the Spirit. Do you hear me? So basically, why did he lose his power when they shaved his hair? Because of disobedience. The Holy Spirit leaves when we disobey. It's not there. God doesn't need the hair. By the way, when Samson was pushing down the temple's pillars, he had no hair. His hair was just growing back. He had no hair. But the power returned. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came back. But I'm almost there. So Delilah said to him, you don't love me. Tell me where your strength comes from. And eventually he said, if you tie my hair in this knot, and long story short, no, you don't love me. You don't love me. Where does your power come from? Well, if you cut my hair, I lose my power. So the Bible says she shaved his hair. The Philistines came in. She said, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are on you. And the Philistines came and took him away and took out his eyes. So they took his power. They took his vision. Say this with me. They took his power. And they took his vision. You know, his power wasn't a threat to the enemy. His eyes were. Because a man's eyes is a man's vision. So they took out his eyes. And you know what? They threw him into a grinder. In a grinder, he was walking in a circle formation. And you know what? He was like a slave in a grinder. Come on, say with me, circle formation. So this is how he walked in a grinder, in a circle. He had no eyes, no hair, humiliated, laughed at, and they made jokes about him, made fun about him. So he was in the grinder working as a slave. And long story short, they took him out of the grinder. Now, this is the key. A lot of people sitting in this place today, you're sitting in a cycle. Wherever you start, you finish. Come on, I'm speaking to the real people right now. Just when you think that there's breakthrough, something breaks. Just when you think there's peace, there's turmoil. Come on, just when you think that you receive promotion at your job, your rent goes up. Who knows what I'm talking about? Just when you think your car is fixed, something else breaks. It's the tires, then it's the exhaust pipe, then it's the water pump, then it's your wife, then it's this, then it's that, then it's the mother-in-law. It's always a cycle. Say with me, cycle. But this morning, you have to hear me. You have to break that cycle, or that cycle will break you. If you have been sick whole year long, that's a cycle. If the doctor tells you that your whole family lineage has got cancer, that's a cycle. Who hears me? Cycles are meant to be broken. But you have to make a decision today and say, Lord, the Spirit of God is coming upon me. And when he comes upon me, anything and everything that ties me down and brings me back to a cycle, I'm about to hit it. Come on, I'm about to bring it low. And you know why? Well, like Samson, when Samson got the fresh jawbone of a donkey, he started hitting people and they died in front of him. Because your enemy has never been created to stand eyeball to eyeball with you. Because he's not equal to you. This is why Samson brought them down. This is where you are, under my feet. Anything that's against you is supposed to be under your feet. Don't look the enemy eyeball to eyeball. He's not equal to you. Do you hear me? I said, do you hear me? He's not equal to you. He's supposed to be under your feet. So long story short, they took him out of the grinder and then they used him as an entertainer. You have been an entertainer for Satan too long. Satan has entertained you with nonsense. That sickness has become an entertainer for too long. You are no longer Satan's entertainer. Is somebody listening to me in this place? You're no longer the laughing stock of your family. You are who God says you are. Come on, you might be the weakest of the clan. God is calling the weakest of the clan and he's promoting them to places high and above. Now here's Samson, no eyes, no hair, and he laid between pillars. And the Bible says, in the grinder, his hair was starting to go back. The fact is, when they shaved his hair, the Bible says Samson didn't know that the Spirit of God left him. When you tell people what they want to hear, the Spirit of God leaves. When you please people, you kill the anointing on your life. I'm going to say this again. Stop pleasing people. You will kill the anointing on your life. Cherish the anointing. He said to her what she wanted to hear. He lost the presence of God. So I'm finishing. Lays between the pillars. He started praying, oh God, I pray, give me power just one more time to take vengeance for my eyes. He didn't say, I want to take vengeance for my hair. He said, I want to take vengeance for my vision. And he said, I pray, just give me power just one more time. There's people here right now that's you praying that exact same thing. Lord, I just pray for power one more time. I need power, Lord, to overcome this season just one more time. If I'm speaking to you, I want you to lift your hand quickly. You say, Lord, give me power just one more time. Just one more time. Just one more time. So if you're one of them, I want you to lift your hands. And if you lifted your hand, I want you to stand to your feet quickly. I declare this by the power of God. Lift your hand and close your eyes. According to the word of God, according to the authority of the Holy Spirit, that cycle is being broken right now in the name of Jesus. Broken right now in Jesus' name. You're not leaving this house with that same cycle. Come on, I want you to open your mouth and declare this with me right now. I want you to say, Lord, this cycle, I'm not taking this cycle home. Lord, this cycle is yours. I break it. I come against it in the name of Jesus. Everything that comes against me, Lord, everything that comes against your plans, Lord, it will not be equal to me. I'm bringing it down to the place where it's supposed to be, under my feet in Jesus' mighty name. I'm leaving with new joy, with new hope, Father. Come on, the hope that you've started, the joy that I have, the world has not given it to me, and the world cannot take it away. Lord, I thank you that you give something new, something fresh in my hand that will bring high things down in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare right now, by your power, through the blood of Jesus, the very thing that was supposed to kill me in this year, I will eat something sweet out of it. When I return on my way, I will look back and say, look what the Lord has done. I was supposed to be down and out, but thank God I'm up and about. I am too blessed to be stressed, and I am too anointed to be disappointed. Come, I want you to declare this with me. From this day, I am the head and not the tail. Come on, from this day, I'm not living in cycles. I'm breaking cycles. I'm a cycle destroyer. Come on, I'm a lion killer. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Pick up your joy. Pick up your joy. I said, pick up your joy in Jesus' name. The gates of hell is shaking this morning. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for this word. That people are stepping into a hundredfold, the arena of the hundredfold. Lord, those that have been going through hard times, I declare in Jesus' name, not according to my own word, but according to his word, you have been applying kingdom principles. The hundredfold arena is opening up in this hour in Jesus' name. And I'm declaring, come on, 24-hour breakthroughs. Lord, in Jesus' name, your people will catch up with the blessing. They will run it in, Lord. The anointing shall bring forth such a release of your spirit like we've never experienced before. And we take it according to your word. Let it be done. Let it be done. Say this with me. Let it be done. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, give him a shout of praise.